You're listening to episode 88 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Unbearable Lightness of Advertising. Episode 88 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is June the 2nd, 2013. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my brother James Vincent Furlough. That's right.
Yeah, that's my middle name. You know, it's a bummer you said that, because I was actually going to make a comment about it being a secret.
Well, I hope you didn't actually want it as a secret, because I'll just kind of set it live.
Yeah, I noticed. Don't worry about it. Moving on.
Yeah, that's fun. Sorry about that. So, that was a really short show opening. this week, we're going to get straight to tech. I mean, like, no goofing around at all.
No bantering. When you, like, destroy all my privacy, man. What was the other thing that you did where I had to go back and edit it out? I can't remember now. Oh, was it my email? I can't remember what it was, but you did it at the end of the show. And I remember this because I had to go to YouTube and crop it out. And I was like, what? It's all right. That's the nature of the game, right? Or the beast.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, you can give away some of my secrets.
Matthew actually lives where you see. It's not... our mother's sewing room, that is his house.
You know what? I honestly, dude, if you saw my actual room, you would be like, looks about the same, actually. It's not even that different. This might be cleaner. But not for long. I actually might be moving out soon, which is kind of cool.
Speaking of moving, this is the last time that I will be in this place.
Really? Because that might be the same for me. And here,
big changes.
Next week might be an entirely different acoustic show. So if you've gotten used to the terrible acoustics of this particular setup, just be prepared. It may get better or worse. There's really no way to tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, I probably won't. We'll do another show or two here, but there's a good chance it'll be that. That'll be it.
Not me. Internet's officially moving over Tuesday. I don't have a choice.
Oh man, yeah, I hear you. That's like the break point for everything. Oh, internet's gone. I guess I'll follow. You can turn the water off, power off, as long as the internet's there. So, anyways, this week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. Before we get into the show, James has got a short disclosure he's going to throw out there, and I'll try not to ruin any more of his secrets.
That's right. This is not a secret and shouldn't remain one. I work for HP, however, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
Cool. If you want to follow us throughout the week, and you can go to... Yeah, you should. It's pretty awesome. We talk about all sorts of interesting things and tweet about music and sports and dogs and places we're living and life events. You can it's great. You can follow us on Twitter. My handle is at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough. And I'm also trying an experiment. And so I'm actually, when I see an interesting article, I have been posting it on my Tumblr blog. It just seemed appropriate. And making comments, which is, care to guess, jamesfurlough.tumblr.com.
Nice.
But yeah, so you kind of get a sneak preview of at least what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, that's cool. And also, if you find me on Facebook, which it's pretty easy to find, my name is Matthew Dean Furlough. Facebook it. And I'll say yes. So, like, I just say yes to anybody who asks to be my friend. But don't immediately IM me being like, hey, thanks for adding me. Give me your phone number so we can chat. Because I just assume you're some, like, creep or some, what's it called?
Stalker.
An advertiser, stalker, whatever. Like, I'm more than happy to be friends, but just don't do that. You could just be like, hey, I'm a fan of the show, or I hate your show and I just want to pester you. I'll probably leave you around on my Facebook anyways. But, I'm just saying, it's weird people that do that. Do you ever get those?
I do not, no.
No? Jeez, just me? Okay.
I mean, I get the random friend requests from people who have no one in common in like three pictures, but
yeah,
not a follow-up like I am. Hey.
Yeah?
Give me all your pers- share your information with me.
Right, well, I mean, you know, it doesn't usually go that quickly. Usually it's like 4 or 5 tech, you're like instant messages like, hey, I'm new to the area.
Oh, wow, you actually carry on a conversation with...
Well, no, I know, that's the thing. They're talking at me, and it's like 4 or 5, like messages over the course of, like, 20 minutes.
There we go, it's like all at once.
I say, and the last one's always like, okay, I gotta go, just drop me your number, and maybe we can hang out sometime. Like, I know I'm cute and everything, but this is super weird. I am not going to give you my number, actually.
Drop me your number, and we'll hang out sometime.
Yeah.
Wow. That must work.
No.
How's the spelling? Is that pretty far on, or is that
no, dude? That's the weird part. Is I actually think some of these people are just like what the feeling I get is that like that some of these people that do this are just people who are trying to meet people. Like I just don't have really a better strategy.
Legitimately, you're doing it, huh?
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking there are better strategies. I meet new people all the time, and I don't have to randomly ask people for... And at the very least, if you want my phone number, start by giving me yours. That's what I'm going to say. Like, let's build a little rapport first, but definitely don't ask for my digits and not give me yours. That's just not even... That's so weird. That is so weird.
Oh man. That's...
Whatever.
Interesting. No, I do not have that. My Facebook profile must not be that cool.
Yeah, well, I'm a beautiful person with interesting lifestyles. Apparently. I don't know.
Do you mostly post public things or friends only? What's your...
I have no idea. I think I post everything public, though.
If you don't know, the answer is public.
You know what? That's actually, that's very true. Because my thing has always been, and with, like, personal information on the internet, is that if I don't want it on the internet, if there are people that I don't want to see it online, I don't post it. It's like, that's fine, because I don't really care how, you know, secure my information is. But it's just, unless it's like my own personal server. But even then, like Facebook.
Which is actually probably less secure than, say, Facebook or some of those other ones.
But the chances that they're going to like open up my server space to, you know, my data to somebody else, like who, you know, just advertisers or whatever, because they decided that they changed their policies, that's far less. It's just more likely to get broken into.
Right.
I'm pretty small bean, so I don't really worry about it too much. But anyways, so what do you want to talk about today?
Let's start off with beams of noise canceling stuff.
Oh baby, okay. So do you own any noise canceling headphones?
No.
Okay.
Unlike you, I have the earbuds that Apple gave me, and that's all I have.
I'd say, you know, I don't actually have any noise-canceling headphones, but I have gotten kind of wacky with my headphones lately. I like them. But do you know how noise-canceling headphones work? It's kind of cool.
They figure out what the noise is and, like, do the inverse of it. I don't know.
Then cancel it.
Seems logical.
So, exactly. So if you picture, you know, if you picture, yeah, it's pretty much what it is. So what happens is like
as the sound are waves, right?
Yeah, sound waves. Well, and what it's easier to think of with sound, or more accurate, I should say, is areas of compression and expansion. So the area around your ear keeps compressing and expanding at a certain rate, and that expansion is being done by, you know, and by all sorts of things, whether it's you breathing out and singing, or it's, you know, sound systems. And sound systems, you know, they have that cone, your, you know, on your stereo, that cone vibrates back and forth, and as it pushes out, it compresses. As it pushes back, it expands, and it creates these propagating waves, as they were. Mm. And what's cool with these, like, super sophisticated headphones is what they do is they basically sense what's coming on one side. So they literally have a little mic that picks up the sound. It knows what the sound wave is, and it creates an inverse. So when the sound wave
obviously
is hitting,
really fast.
Yeah, incredibly fast, because it has to do it in the time that it takes for the sound to travel from the mic to the inside of the headphone.
Wow.
And what it does is it literally, so as the compression of the wavefront comes, the your headphones inversely are pulling back, and so they're
okay.
It's creating a neutral area. But what's really cool about these is that it basically takes the incoming sound, inverses it, and then adds it to the sound that you're trying to hear, which is like your song. And then when you have all three going at the same time, so the incoming sound, the inverse sound, and your song, they all add up, and what's left over is just your song.
It's like canceling an algebra. I gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah, it's precisely like that. And it's pretty cool. And
have you ever tried a pair?
I actually haven't. Okay. I was reading this article and thinking that I should. I've had friends that had them. I could have tried them. And they all claim they work fantastic. Like, you know, especially they are absolutely the best when there's like a constant dull noise, like on airplanes and stuff. Like the sound of the airplane just goes away. And
that would almost
like,
be weird.
Know, yeah, they claim it is kind of weird. Huh. Really fast, loud noises will get through, especially if the noise levels are, or if there's a noise that's really loud compared to everything else, that'll get through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just like normal murmuring and stuff, it's pretty good with that sort of thing. Well, so the reason why we're talking about this technology is because turns out that light waves work pretty much the same way. You can add and subtract light waves, and if you get two light waves going at the same time, in inverse, they cancel out and you get no light. Well,
that's weird.
This dude, yeah, it is kind of weird that it you don't usually think of it that way, but if you think of a magnetic field propagating as compressions and expansions, and that's what light is, which is what it is, it's essentially the same thing as sound. So it works the same way, which is why it works. So there's been this issue going on in the fiber optics community, reason why this matters, and the issue has been noise coming through the fiber optics. And basically what happens is, and what we've been doing with technology...
Like actual, like sound noise or light noise?
Light noise.
Okay.
And so what's been going on is basically you're trying to send a beam, you know, a laser through this fiber optic, you know, miles and miles and miles at the speed of light, as fast as you can. And what'll happen is other light will get in there and kind of mess around with the signal. And light can get in there through all sorts of different means. And, through, you know, whether it's like black body radiation or whatever, coming in and,
of course,
or
yeah.
just light, yeah, whatever, or refracting or different sorts of things that
flashlight, you know, whatever,
stuff like that. Usually flashlights don't make it in cause they're like bundled and coated. But the thing is that what engineers have been doing for a really long time has been trying to create insulation around your fiber optic cables and create fiber optics that don't allow light in, don't allow light out, and don't cause refractions that might cause different light pulses over the length of the cable. They're basically trying to create what would be the equivalent of creating a soundproof room in order to cancel all the sound. And they've done a really good job of that, but...
which isn't really cancel, it's just absorb, right?
Right, yeah, and reabsorb or deflect or get rid of, you know, just basically prevent it from getting into your little area. So your area is perfect. Well, the researchers at Bell Laboratories in New Jersey came up with this idea that they're like, I can't believe nobody thought of this before, is basically what the scientists were saying in this article. It's awesome. They're like, we decided to send two beams of light, one which was the signal we wanted, and one which was the ambient noise that we were picking up on the other end. And as long as your ambient noise is relatively consistent, like it is with sound mm-hmm. counseling phones, they were finding that they additive, all three sources, so the noise, the canceling light, and the main light that was going through, and they were getting through an incredibly stable signal.
Whoa.
And what they were saying was the data was sent over a distance of 7,953 miles, a distance greater than the longest submarine cable, traveling at a speed of 400 gigabits per second, which is around 10 times faster than commercially available line speeds.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. Like, yeah, it worked really well. And what's great is that, like, this is just really, you know, common engineering. There's nothing really revolutionary or
cool.
There's nothing weird about what they're doing. They just made it 10 times faster. And the best part about this is because it's technology that has to do with what, you know, the data you're sending, you could literally, all of your like they were talking, submarine cables or your cables that are already lined, as long as you put a router, receiver, transmitters on either end, or just update the firmware to deal with noise, you theoretically could get huge boosts of speed in the already existing fiber optics network, which is pretty exciting. So,
wow.
I love these sort of like data compression, like moments and breakthroughs where like it doesn't require you to go through and rebuild anything. It just requires you to change how you were doing it a little bit and, you know, create just, you know, explosions of speed and usability. So pretty awesome. Probably going to be one of those things that will be incorporated in every fiber optic in the next, from here on out, I'm sure. So, very neat.
Dude, that's sweet. Way to go, yeah. Bell Labs.
Yeah. Nice job, science.
So here's one that you will appreciate more than me. What are they called? Are they the Santa Clara 49ers yet? Or are they the Fremont 49ers?
They're not going to Fremont. They're going to Santa Clara.
The Santa Clara 49ers.
Oh, baby.
Are building a new stadium. Care to guess where? And what's cool about it, though, is that they are trying to make a, like, they called it a software-driven stadium.
Nice.
Yeah, they're like, you know, part of it's because we're in the heart of Silicon Valley, but part of it's because it sounds awesome. And so they're just like totally teching this place out. So here are some examples. Sorry, there's a bird that just flew underneath the... Okay. Watching that. anyways, they so some examples they said is, while you're in the stadium, you can connect to its wireless network using your smartphone or tablet. Got it.
Nice.
To watch the game via any of the many 4K video cameras installed throughout the facility.
Oh, so that's
for
awesome.
Example, you could pick a point of view that offers a better vantage point than your seat, or you could watch close-up of the plays, or you could conceivably tune into a player's helmet cam.
That's awesome.
And then you liked where they were like, we don't have to. It's a bring-your-own-device, and if you want to watch an old-school way, cool. And I know for
why would you?
That's a good question. I actually know for me, I really enjoy watching games on television actually more than watching them live or in person in the stadium. And the reason is I love all the extra information that the television cast gives you. where they talk about the players, some of their backgrounds, some of their accomplishments, what the significance of certain plays were. It also helps that, you know, they'll deconstruct the situation and you go, oh, okay, yeah, 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 I get what's going on here. And because you got to sit through the commercial breaks no matter what, so
yeah,
you know, who cares about the time part? And then I'll also like to follow for some of the bigger games to follow the tweet streams of what other people are saying, and you know, and just kind of be immersed in the game. And so, you know, which is what they are really trying to do, is bring that experience to the stadium itself.
Yeah, that's I like that a lot, especially like for me, because I
near them. Oh, wait.
Well, yes. This is incredibly important because I'll probably be going to these games. One of the things that I really like is that actually this is totally a side note, but I nearly bought a seat. I got very close to doing it, but I couldn't find anybody that would go in with me.
Oh, for the first season at the new place?
No, like season tickets that you'd buy a seat and you get that seat forever as long as you paid the
right.
couple hundred dollars. Yeah. And
how much was it?
It was $2,000 for the first year. And you could finance it over like a 5-year period.
Oh my gosh.
And then it's like $100 upkeep from there on out. And
you get
the seat. So it's really not, I mean, like, as long as you plan on being in the area and being a Niners fan for the next 10 years, it's not terrible expenditure. It's just, you know, but the biggest, honestly, you know what the biggest problem is? They're awful seats. They're like way up in their nosebleeds. But you get to go to every game, so, you know, win some, you lose some.
Well, and what that means is that the Super Bowl is going to be played at that stadium the first year.
Yeah.
And it means you would get to go to the Super Bowl.
Which would be pretty cool. I don't know if it's $2,000 cool, but it's pretty, you know, at this point in my life, I don't know.
The deal is you wouldn't want one seat. You want two seats.
That's the thing. That was the biggest thing, is I couldn't find anybody that was, I had people who were very interested, but nobody that was willing to commit for, you know, one reason or another. And one of the big reasons was because he hadn't quite landed his job at one of the tech companies in Silicon Valley yet. And
is it too late to pull the trigger?
I don't know. I actually was just thinking, I mean, now that we're talking about this, this is the first time I've thought about it since in like the last 2 months. It might not be. That'd be pretty cool. And it's a very cool.
So here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
I don't actually know if you know this. I don't want to say this. You know the most famous Apple ad ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Arguably the most famous ad ever. That was shown at a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And the Super Bowl was at the Stanford Stadium, and our parents were at that football game. So they actually missed the commercial because they were at the game itself.
That's awesome.
Fun fact.
You know what? It's funny. I knew that they were at the Stanford Super Bowl, and I knew that it was the ad was the Stanford Super Bowl. And I never actually put together that's right. They didn't get to see it.
Which they actually got. They're like seat cushions.
Yeah.
I guess that have the colored Apple logo on them.
Right. I didn't know that. I did not know that. That was the deal with that. That's funny because I remember those from our childhood. And that's funny. That's really interesting. That's cool.
There you go. And the 49ers were in that Super Bowl, and they won against the Dolphins, I believe. It was like 49-0, just like ridiculous. Or 49-7, whatever.
It killed the Dolphins.
Yeah. I don't feel bad about Marino. He did okay.
It's true. So what I was going to say was what I really like about this is that like with basketball, I really enjoy live basketball games. I enjoy live games, and one of the big reasons for it is because I like watching the other stuff. I like the audience. I'm very much an extrovert, so I like the crowds and everything, and I get a lot of energy from that. It gets me excited. But I do find, especially with football, that I like to watch things that nobody else likes to watch, particularly the front line, because I was a lineman during high school, so I like watching them duke it out in the trenches and everything. So the idea of being able to see that, like, and have that on my iPad and be able to look up and see the whole thing. That's really cool. I mean, that gets me super stoked. And they talk about the fact, like, I was reading somewhere that they were saying, like, the internet speed is just going to be nutty fast. They're like, yeah, we're pumping as much bandwidth in there as we can.
They better.
Because
if they do anything less, it'll be miserable.
Oh, yeah. And, well, yeah, and it's the middle of, you know, it's the middle of the tech world. So they realize that they're, you know, there's a certain type of audience that they're going to be catering to.
Well, you noticed when we went to our sister's graduation and once everybody showed up, our phones all suddenly stopped working.
Yeah, just stopped. That was ridiculous. It went from, like, fast internet to just stopped. Like, you couldn't even send a text message.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And, yeah, they definitely have to do that because it's just going to be, yeah, it's going to be, you know, packed again and again and again. Because
that was at most 15,000 people at the graduation.
And this will be, you know, regularly 50 to 60, I think. I think that's how big it is. The stadium's gigantic. Like, you can see it from Fremont. It's unbelievably big. And part of it is that it's a relatively low skyline, or, skyline that it's around so far. They're already building stuff all around it, getting ready for it. But
don't you wish you owned land in that area before they announced it?
Jeez, yeah, seriously. But they, the only people that hate this are the owners of Great America, and it's because they're taking their parking. But
it'll be okay.
For those of you that don't know, Great America is a theme park right there. It's cool, man. It is a cool stadium. They're doing some great stuff with stadiums nowadays. It's everything from, like, build construction process and visualization, but also the stuff that's going to be there. I'm excited.
Well, yeah, it's a total hotbed or a great opportunity to really push the bounds of some tech. Because, A, you can spend the money because, you know, you'll make it back.
Right.
And they're just huge. And, you know, so you get to do some pretty cool, exciting things. So, yeah, it's fun where they're like, no, we're not just building a stadium. We're going crazy with it because why not? And they don't care if it, you know, if it takes 20 years to buy back and they're charging you $2,000 for a seat. So,
yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's cool. The only thing I don't get is they're calling it Levi's Stadium, which I know why they're doing it. I miss the days when they had cool names.
I don't know. It's a pretty cool... Yeah, I mean, as far as... If you're going to go with a brand, though, Levi's a pretty good brand to go with. I mean, you know, outside of the fact that it's... They're really Chinese pants, not American pants anymore. But that's besides the point.
Oh, that's funny. You have to wear Levi's or Dockers. Those are your choices.
Yeah. That's actually pretty much all. Those are the only pants I wear right now are Levi's.
There you go.
But
you're a fanboy.
It's true. Seriously, it's ridiculous. Sometimes I take a look at my life and I'm just like, how did it come to this? It's because they make good products. What am I supposed to do? They make my butt look nice. I don't know.
That's okay. Moving on.
That's it.